Well, it's very damaging to all of us, very traumatic, and we don't like to see these things occur. I mean, we spend our lives and our careers, everybody in the service, trying to prevent crimes and things of this nature. So, you know, really when these things do happen, it's first, a brief feeling of anger, but then recognizing that we have to be operational. Let's get to work. Let's make sure that we can provide as much safety as we can and then get into the investigative steps to try and find out who's responsible so we can, you know, get the people in the city to have some feeling of comfort to know that an arrest has been made, that one particular person isn't going to cause any more harm.
The response, your officer's response, the first responder's response to this, and the public's response, tell me about how that went. You sounded quite happy with the way things were in such a dramatic and dangerous situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can imagine the calls that come in, first through our communications operators who have to handle these calls from, I would expect, I don't know the number, but there would be a deluge of calls coming in through people's cell phones and through the Eaton security people. And then it's their responsibility to get the information out and forward it on through the radio to the officers on the street so we can get people there as quickly as possible and in a safe manner. Anytime you get these events, the first emergency responders going through the door are the ones that are in the most danger, not really knowing what to expect, where are we going to bump into people on the way in or not. Once that gets settled, then it becomes those officers' responsibility to get people to a place of safety and to preserve the crime scene and also to render any kind of first aid that they can. And I don't know if you heard me speak earlier, there are just modern, everyday citizens who are there with their kids who stayed back. And I know one personally, who stayed there and assisted and provided first aid to the young 13-year-old boy in the face of this danger. And it's a traumatic event for those people, but they're the heroes, the citizens of Toronto, that aren't trained to stick themselves into those, but found themselves in that situation and help save lives.
Do you have any personal frustration as an officer when you find out the suspect in this case was awaiting trial on other charges? He was under court order not even to be in a public place. I mean, what goes through your mind when you hear that? I know what goes through mine.
Well, yeah, you know, it's frustrating for us, but unfortunately, it's I hate to say, certainly not happy about it, but you just get used to it because it seems to happen a lot. We do have a judicial system that puts these orders in place, and they do have a place in our system. But there also are a lot of people that abuse them, a lot of people that have no respect for any court order that they're going to be on. And we do have compliance units that make efforts to keep a track of people that are on bail in our areas, keep track of people that we feel may be of danger. But it's impossible. Like this accused, he's alleged to have been on a house arrest. We can't have a police officer on every single person that's on bail all the time. So it's pretty clear that he wasn't too concerned about whether or not he was required to be in his home or not.
The other stunning fact in this case is the suggestion that the shooting suspect, the victim he's alleged to have killed, and another man who was seriously wounded might all be members of the same gang. I mean, this is unbelievable. And they would settle a score in a public place like that.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I thought initially that there were a couple of gangs involved. I'm not sure if they were all one gang. I heard what Brian said. But the fact that we don't want to give too much credit to these gangs either. They're not that well-structured organizations that they sometimes claim to be. They're just a gathering of people, and sometimes people go from one gathering to another or move to another part of the city or walk away from gang life altogether and then become a victim of their own gang, perhaps. All those things are possibilities. So, they are gangs. Gangs, to me, are just violent criminals. The definition's in the criminal code quite clearly. They're not often a brilliant organization that some people play them up to be.
I should ask you this, too. We know the stats suggest that Toronto, when it comes to gun violence, is a relatively statistically safe city and becoming safer. The thing that people might be worried about is the fact that we might be seeing more of these kinds of brazen acts in recent years. I mean, we had Jane Kriba, now we have the Eaton Center shooting. Are these criminals becoming more brazen and more willing to pull out a gun and fire it indiscriminately?
Well, I think in the two incidents you've talked about, certainly that's occurred, and we know the ramifications of this type of public shooting. But there are 7 years between those two events, and frankly, I know we make some comparisons to the Kriba, but you know the Kriba family would probably very much like us to leave that alone and let's move on. And I don't mean that in any disrespect. Everybody asks those questions. The challenge is there's always going to be, and I used the word yesterday, I used the word idiot. Apparently it's got out there in the media around the world, and I stand by it until somebody proves to me otherwise. There's always going to be an idiot that's going to not have the least bit concern that there's a 13-year-old boy 500 feet down my shooting path, or that there's a Jane Kriba across the road, or that there's where the bullet goes, they don't care. So, as long as we have people like that, we're going to have these challenges. They are few and far between, I would suggest. You know, we don't see too many that happen in these large gatherings, but there are some. So,
thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
That's Acting Deputy Police Chief Jeff McGuire in conversation with 680 News.